Dear God, we come to you today and we are grateful for all that you've done for us in our lives, Lord. We are grateful for the country that we live in. We appreciate the intentions of the founders. We appreciate the freedoms we've been given, free speech and freedom of religion, freedom to bear arms, just all the many things that you have given us. Lord, we are so grateful that our rights come from you, not from any man-made government. And Lord, we just lift up our country. We lift up the president, the Congress, the Supreme Court, the governor, the mayor, city council, just those in authority at all levels. Lord, we pray they would seek your wisdom, they would walk in your will, follow your direction. Lord, help us to be good citizens, help us to be people who are involved, and help this place to leave it to our children and our grandchildren, a place of freedom, a place that brings you honor. And we just ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you're an outline person, if that's how you learn, there is an outline in the bulletin. And we're going to look at happiness and joy this morning. When we think about joy or happiness, I'm really going to use those interchangeably this morning. I know sometimes Christians will talk about happiness as just kind of the surface and joy is something deeper. And I get that and I understand that. I am going to use the words interchangeably this morning as we talk about this. Everybody wants to be happy, right? Everyone wants to live a life of joy. I've never met, you know, we have the kids in with us today because it's Family Sunday, which just a reminder, you parents, if you sent your kids up to kids ministry, they are totally unsupervised. So you might want to go find them, bring them back. But understand that joy and happiness, I've never chatted with a little child and they say, I want to grow up to be miserable. You know, nobody wants that. We all want to be happy. We all want to have joy. It is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's part of what should flow out of us if we are Christians, that we are people of joy. Even in one of our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think all people pursue happiness in various ways. And yet I believe as we look at this, as we dig into it, that God is the ultimate source of our joy, of our happiness. I love what it says, a passage I keep coming back to lately in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. The last part of the verse describes God, and it says of him in this way, the God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. See, I don't know about you, but I have met people over the years that when I dig into their view of God, he's not smiling. He's always angry. And God does get angry sometimes. We have sinned. We have defied him. But understand at the heart of the universe, at the heart of all reality, is a God who is smiling, a God who is happy, a God who is filled with joy and made us out of that joy and desires joy for us. Christian happiness, one author said, is a God-centered, God-glorifying, and God-given lens, looking at God's love in a way that helps us to walk in right relationship with him. Now, I know that it can be a struggle to walk in joy for many people. When you look at the numbers in our country, we see about 19%, according to one source I was reading, struggle with some form of depression. That's a high percentage. I was looking at some statistics from 2016 that the federal data says that the suicide rates in America have surged to their highest level in 30 years in that particular year. And so we see a lot of people who are not walking in joy, who are not happy. Surveys about, are you happy in your work? So often, many people are pretty miserable in their work. And so I want you to understand that we are called to a life of joy. This is what God wants for us. One commentator about America said this, that it's a strange melancholy in the midst of abundance, because we have been given so much, and yet so many people struggle in this area. So I want to lay out for you a few keys from the book of Philippians that the Apostle Paul wrote while in prison about joy, about happiness. I love the fact that one of the major themes of the book of Philippians, he mentions joy or rejoicing about 16 times in that short little book, is here he is writing from a prison cell, and he's writing and giving advice, Spirit-filled advice on happiness and joy. So here are some keys. So let's dig into this. The first key is to build strong relationships. Build strong relationships. This really does make life worth living. I mentioned that this weekend we had a father-son event, and we camped out back, and we had a great time. And I would float around and talk to some of the kids. And one of the kids I went up to, and I just said, "So, how's it going? Are you enjoying yourself?" And this young boy turned to me, and he said, "This is the best day of my life." And I love that. Well, what's that about? That's about him having a relationship with his dad. He's enjoying his time having some one-on-one with his dad. Building strong relationship lifts up our happiness and our joy in our lives. When you look at Philippians, you see the Apostle Paul emphasizing the relationship that he had with these people. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, "In all my prayers for all of you," so notice the relationship there, he prays for them regularly, "I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And so they're in partnership, they're in relationship, they're working on something meaningful. What is most meaningful, which is sharing the good news, the gospel from a happy God offered to all of us if we will accept it. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." There's that unity in relationships, in that church, and in the family of God. Philippians 2:19, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you." So this intimate relationship between them. Even the secular leaders and those who study this, one author I was reading this week said, "Today, study after study show that it is our social connections that are the single biggest driver of our happiness." Now, I would add to that that our relationship with God is the biggest part of that, because we're designed for a unique relationship with Him. But we are designed to attach to others, to have a relationship with other people. Philippians 4:1 says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters," notice the family imagery there, "you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." Notice the family image. Notice the friendship image. Notice that he calls the relationship with these Philippian Christians, that's his joy. And that often is how we have joy, those relationships with those around us. That is a huge key. One author said this, and I loved it. It's a great line. "Happiness is a crowded dinner table." There's a lot of truth in that. If you apply what some have called the rocking chair test, you know, at the end of your life, and maybe, you know, you're facing some health challenges, maybe you can't do what you could do earlier. At the end of your life, and you look back, what are going to be the precious moments? What are going to be the standout memories? And I submit to you, they're going to be the moments of relationship with other people. People in your church, people in your family, people with your grandkids, people, relationships with your spouse. These are the memories that will stand out. This is what will stand the rocking chair test at the end of our lives. That's the first key that Paul gives us. The second one is to trust God for your future. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. So from prison, he writes with confidence. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven. As much as I love America, and many of you are military, and you have actually risked your lives for this country, understand we have a higher citizenship than the country. We have a loyalty that's above our loyalty to our nation, and that is to God himself, that is to Jesus Christ. We are part of a higher kingdom. And our future is tied to that because it is an eternal kingdom. It is our forever family. It is our forever place that we will live. A place without pain and sorrow and illness and death. A place where relationships are perfect. Even the best marriage here on earth has some sin in it. And so even the most distant relationship in heaven is in some ways better than the best marriage here on earth. We are citizens of heaven. And so Paul can write with confidence from prison about his future. And we can have a confidence in that. So we can trust God for our future. Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. And you're like, well, that took a turn. What's going on there? You know, blessed can be translated happy. Happy are you when these things happen. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Understand, even if we deal with persecution here, which we're very blessed, we have minimal persecution in the United States. Understand that we have a citizenship in heaven. We can look forward. We can overcome adversity. And our brothers and sisters around the world are overcoming adversity and persecution and difficulty. If you read the book of Acts, it's very exciting, but don't miss all the persecution. Acts chapter 16, the story of Paul and Silas. We see that they're thrown into prison. And, I mean, can you imagine? Here they are in prison. They're hurting. And you would think they'd be terrified. You think they'd be scared. You think they'd be sad and depressed. Instead, what do we find out they're doing? They're worshiping. They're having a worship service there in the jail. It's a remarkable picture. And so we can have joy because we trust God. We have confidence in God for our future. And we look forward to heaven. And heaven has all these images. It's a party. It's a wedding feast of the Lamb. It is a place of eternal and incredible joy and happiness. And we look forward to that. I think of the minister who came in and was talking to a bunch of little kids in a children's church. And he said, I want all you kids to raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. And, you know, every kid raised their hand except one little boy. And he said, why don't you want to go to heaven? He goes, well, I want to go. He goes, I thought you were putting together a trip right now. But we can have confidence about our future if we put our trust in God. And that leads to our joy and our happiness. The third key is to place your faith in Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Look at the supremacy of Christ here above everything else. Paul, who gave up everything, listen to what he says. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. See, putting his trust in Christ, that righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. We can have joy if we will place our trust, our faith in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 4:19, Paul says, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." See, we tend to think, and many people tend to think, that we'll be happy, we'll have joy with earthly material riches. And actually, all the studies say that, I mean, it helps a little bit, but not really. You know, the richest countries often have the highest, I looked at a couple different studies, some of the highest depression rates. And so, you know, while we all want to have enough money to function and do a few things, that's not really the key to joy. The key to joy is to put our trust in Jesus Christ, into the happy God of the Bible, the one in pure, beautiful relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's kind of like if you look at the ocean, you know, there's the surface, and a lot can be going on in the surface, but there's these deep currents. I was reading about these deep currents that traverse the world's oceans with a force 16 times stronger than all the world's rivers combined. And I feel like that's joy. There can be a lot happening on the surface of your life, but if we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that part of the fruit of that Spirit is joy, no matter what we face, no matter what difficulties come our way. Please evaluate how you view God. If you picture God and he's not smiling, I encourage you to reassess. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are wearing the righteousness of Christ. You are his son and daughter. You've been invited into the family. Your sins are forgiven. We have amazing things. You know, the word joy or rejoice, it's about 350 times in the scripture. It's a pretty big theme. Think of the reasons we have to be happy in Christ. We have a perfect heavenly Father. We experience salvation. We can look back at our greatest mistakes, our greatest sins, and we can just experience that warm balm of forgiveness that is taken care of. I don't have to carry that anymore. We're adopted into God's family. We have all the promises of God that we can count on. We have a Holy Spirit who lives within us. And that sounds a little mysterious, but what a remarkable thing to have the triune God, the third person, come and dwell within us and begin to change us from the inside out. We can look forward to heaven. We just receive so much. The Bible tells us every good gift comes from God above. In Philippians 1:21, it says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul's looking at his life at that moment in chains, and he's going, "I'm okay if I live, I'm okay if I die. I experience joy here, and I will experience joy there." You know, according to Barna, the pollster, he said that Christians are much happier than non-believers. Evangelical Christians were by far, when they looked at the different categories within American culture, they're by far the most satisfied with this present life. They're at 91%. Agnostics and atheists were the least likely to say that they were happy or experienced joy. It's interesting to me. Those who think this is the only life are the least happy in it. Those of us that think it's just the staging ground are the happiest, because we understand the full picture, because we're walking out of our design, because we're walking in relationship with God and his family. The final key is this: to choose joy. There's an active choice involved here. Christian joy is a profound choice based on Jesus. In Philippians 4:4, what does Paul say? He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And so this prisoner writes us boldly and gives us a command. He says, "Rejoice." Too many of us are good at counting our troubles, not our blessings. We have to be intentional about this. Now, invariably, maybe somebody in this audience struggles with depression and it's a chemical imbalance. Take your medicine, do what needs to be done, take care of yourself. I'm not saying you can just snap your fingers out of something like that. I understand that. But most of us That's not what's going on when we're down. We are making decisions. We are changing our focus away from what is good and right and holy and putting on things that pull us down. Researchers tell us that we actually tend to have a negative bias. We tend to react more quickly and more passionately to bad events than to good events. I mean, just look at the media. What do they always lead with? The phrase is, if it bleeds, it leads. Because it gets our attention, we react to it. We tend to remember negative events longer and tend to think about them 5 times as much as good events that happen in our lives. So you have to be very intentional to break that cycle. We have to change the lens when it comes to how we live. You know, it's a challenge in Fairbanks, Alaska to make it financially. It is. But when you start to get upset about it or you're looking at, you know, the PFD debate and different things, I find it helpful to step back and take a bigger picture. For instance, I was reading one source and said the average world income for a person is $5,000 a year. And if you're higher than $50,000 a year, you're in the top, not 1%, but 0.5, so half of the top percent. And I don't know how they figure all that out. Like, we have 5 children, so how do you do all that, make that balance? But understand, most of us are very, very blessed here. And so we have to choose joy. We have to take our view, and where are we going to look? Where are we going to focus? There is a Harvard professor, his name is Sean Acor. He's the author of a book called The Happiness Advantage. He said in a recent TED Talk, he talked about how the external are circumstances. When you look at a person psychologically, it's only about 10% of the makeup is our external circumstances when it comes to our long-term happiness. That 90%, according to him and other studies, of our happiness, of our joy, is how we look at our circumstances, how we think about things, how we look at life. And so if we have an eternal perspective, if we have put on the lenses of looking at this life as temporary and looking at God and who He is and enjoying that relationship with Him, we can change how we feel about things. One author said, joy isn't an emotion that comes and goes. It's an attitude that comes and grows. So in essence, in many ways, happiness, joy, it's a skill. It's something you can learn to do. Viktor Frankl, who was a psychiatrist who endured the Holocaust and went through a Nazi concentration camp, experienced things that most of us cannot even comprehend. And he was digging a ditch. And one of the lines he said is he talked about what was going on in his mind as he was digging this ditch in this Nazi concentration camp. He said, this is where you've got to find your happiness, right here in this trench, in this camp. And he went on in his famous book to say, everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one attitude in any given set of circumstances. That's powerful. It's powerful. Choose joy. Choose happiness. Spin your viewpoint. Paul gives us a practical piece on this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's just a practical tip. I would encourage you to actually lower your media consumption. Lower your social networking consumption. You know, I've read some studies that are saying that more time you spend on social media, and you fill in the blank, age appropriate, okay, the more time, the less happy you are. There's a correlation. Part of that, So it's like, let's say you look at your Facebook feed, you see everybody else's great trip, you see everybody else's wonderful food. You're seeing this other person, all your friends, you're seeing their highlight reel. And then you're looking at the backstage of your own life. And that comparison never goes well, right? Now, if you went on the trip with them, you would hear about the fight that the mom and dad got in, you know, or the kids or whatever. But understand, choosing joy, we have to be intentional. Our minds are powerful. Change your direction. Change where you're looking. Step back and write a letter telling somebody how they made a difference in your life. Commit an act of kindness. Stop and intentionally write down and count your blessings. Go play with children. It will change your thinking. Go visit someone in a nursing home and just ask questions. Listen to their stories. It can change your mindset. Abraham Lincoln once said, "And in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years." There's a parable that I like in the Gospels, and it's about talents. And it's the very end I want to get to, but just so you know the context. The context is this master gives these three servants talents. Now, it's money. It's a sum of money. And so he gives one 5 talents, one 2 talents, one talent. He goes away for a period of time, comes back to see how they did with the talents. And the bottom line is this: the first 2 servants did very well. They invested. They used them in a way that would honor the master. The 3rd servant didn't. And I love the invitation that's given to the 2 servants. They are told, "Come and share your master's joy." That's the invitation. That's what God offers us. He says to each of us, "Come and share your master's joy." We serve a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. An eternity, past, present, and future, of perfect love. And we get to step into that. Come and join. Come and share in your master's joy. That's one way to describe an invitation to the Christian life. And so I encourage you to come and share the master's joy. If you have questions about the Christian faith, you want somebody to pray with you, go in that room afterwards, or come and find me in the lobby. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for each person here. Lord, we do thank you for the blessings of our lives, the benefits you give us. Lord, everybody's list is different, but we are grateful for those. Whether it's good health or parents, a job we enjoy, a place we live that gives us basic freedoms and opportunities. Lord, I pray that when people look at our lives, that they are marked by this fruit of the Spirit, that they are marked by joy. Help us to walk in it powerfully as your Son did. Lord, thank you for being a happy God who offers us good news. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.